Well, I have been able to speaking from the Gospel of Matthew every week, and today the portion that we are going to study is to be found from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. As you know, within the Synoptic Gospels, which are the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Mark, and Gospel of John, there are some corresponding passages, and sometimes we need to study those parallel passages in order to understand the full, complete meaning or depth of the Scriptures. And Matthew chapter 12, basically the same teaching is to be found in Luke chapter 6, verses 30 and 32, and we are going to have an opportunity to read it a little bit later in order to know the full depth of this particular passage of the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12 has been known as the golden rule or golden law. Before I go into this particular rule or law more in details, I must say that this is a golden law because it is applicable to anybody at any time in any given situation or condition. This simple rule of life, I believe, is superior to any other rules in terms of its nobility and charity. Probably the most justifiable, in a sense, the law we can find from the Scriptures, which we may define as the law of justice, law of equity, is the law of tooth for tooth and eye for eye. So if someone hurts somebody by hurting that person's eye, then that the person who has hurt the other person must be punished by hurting his own eye as well. So tooth for tooth and eye for eye law. However, the golden law is far beyond that sort of justice. So we will be able to see some of those aspects a little bit later. If we will be able to keep this divine law or golden law, we will not spoil our relationships. We are not going to hurt anybody, but we will be able to bring joy and satisfaction to ourselves and to our communities. J.C. Ryle says that the Lord begins to draw his discourse to a conclusion from chapter 7, verse 12, this particular verse we are going to study, and onwards. We have been studying about the Sermon on the Mount, which covers from the 5th chapter in the Gospel of Matthew to the 7th chapter, and we are in that last chapter, and J.C. Ryle says that from verse 12 onwards, actually, we are going to be able to see what sort of conclusions Jesus is making out of his own teachings. If J.C. Ryle were correct, then what is this conclusion for? If verse 12 is the beginning of the conclusion of Jesus' discourses in the Sermon on the Mount, then what are the contents of his discourses that have led him to make such conclusion or conclusions? We cannot but look at the previous passages and its parallel passages in order to be able to find some of those contents we have to deal with. We cannot but look at the previous passage and its parallel passage found in Luke chapter 6, verse 31, a little bit later. There are a few things we need to look into for our preliminary studies. First of all, let me just go back to a few verses, previous verses in chapter 7. Chapter 7, verses 1 to 6 tells us that we are not to judge or condemn other people. Verse 2 in chapter 7 says that with the same judgment we make against others, we will be judged. If we are going to condemn some people with certain measurements, then with exactly the same measurements, we are going to be judged by other people. Thus, we will not be the people who are making condemnations easily against other people. Thus, in order to avoid such a situation, before we are going to judge other people, in fact, we need to judge ourselves first. We need to examine ourselves. That is the very simple principle that, in fact, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, which is the golden law, is trying to teach us about. Therefore, the golden law may teach us not to condemn other people, otherwise we'll be condemned in the same way. Second, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, just previous, prior to this golden law, chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, teaches us about prayer. It tells us that the Heavenly Father gives us good things if we are asking Him for our needs. How does that teaching lead us to Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 as a conclusion? What is the relationship between asking and receiving passage and the golden law or golden rule? In this case, maybe the parallel passage offers us a little bit of clue. So we are going to turn our scriptures to Luke chapter 6 verses 30 to 32. 30, 31, and 32. Luke chapter 6, verses 30 till 32. Okay, let's read it together. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. Amen. Well, it is very interesting to notice that the golden law is related to the asking and giving passage in the Gospel of Matthew. But in the Luke passage, it is not related to a matter of prayer, but more like a matter of application. It says, if anyone asks us for his needs, then we are supposed to help the person. Then the reason behind it is found in verse 32 in Luke chapter 6, which is love. In other words, if you love those people only, if you love only those people who love you, then what is the good thing about you? Don't you think that even the sinners, all those corrupted minds, are able to love those people who love them? And if you love only those people who love you, then what is the good point of your love, your affection? Thus, the golden rule tells us to love others as much as we want to be loved by those people, by them. Third, the golden law is a law which reminds us that we have duties and responsibilities while we are living in this world. It is worthy of our notice that right after prayer passage, we come to this law in the Gospel of Matthew. It indicates that even privilege comes with responsibilities. We may have privileges in the Lord, so we can come to the presence of God. We can ask God for our needs, and God may grant our heart's desires. However, even that prayer, which is a privilege, must come together with our responsibilities and duties. So, for example, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 15 to 17 gives us a very serious challenge. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 says this, "And when ye spread forth your hands," in other words, when you are praying, God says, "I will hide mine eyes from you." In other words, when you are spreading your hands something like this in order to pray to me, I'm going to hide mine eyes from you, so I'm not going to see you. I'm not going to listen to you. "When ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." In other words, when we are coming to the presence of God, which is a privilege in the form of prayer, we are to come to the presence of God by fulfilling our duties and responsibilities. We are not supposed to come to the presence of God with a privilege of prayer with bloody hands. Verse 6, God says, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil." Verse 17, "Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." So if we desire to be treated well by the Lord, we are to take care of our duties and responsibilities. So we are not supposed to live as we want to live, but as we must live. There is a law. Fourth, the previous passage before chapter 7 verse 12, Golden Law, is a passage about asking and receiving. Then now the Lord talks about the golden law. It seems that there is a relationship, close relationship between those two ideas. In other words, if we ask him in order to receive, then we must be willing to give as well. If we want God to be kind to us, then obviously we need to be kind to God as well. If we ask God to be kind to us, at the same time, we are expected to be kind to other people. This golden law teaches us about the law of grace. The golden law is not like the law written in letters and words. The ordinary law begins with something like this: thou shalt not do this or that. Or the law says that if we do not do that, then there will be consequences. And punishments are listed, and consequences are very well listed. And at the same time, if we do certain things and so on, there will be rewards indicated in the law. However, the golden law internalizes and spiritualizes the external law. Thus, it begins with us first, by which we find fairness and justice. We oftentimes misunderstand the grace of God or the love of God as if it is in opposition to the law. Thus, grace is understood as lawlessness. As a result, talking about the law is despised, and talking about the grace leads us to consider liberty as if it does not have any boundaries or limits. However, grace is the highest form of the law of God. The true keepers of God's laws are not the ones who keep them only externally. The laws of God must be kept within our own hearts first and applied to our inner beings first. It is the work of the grace of God. Our sinful nature opposes us to internalize the laws of God. Thus, we make lots of do's and don'ts lists. So here are the items we are supposed to do, and here are the items we are not supposed to do. So as long as we do these things, as long as we do not do these things, we feel that we are righteous and we are safe. However, internally, our hearts are corrupt. Internally, we are totally depraved. We know that our imaginations are unclean and untidy, and there is no sense of holiness whatsoever in our hearts. But outwardly, we still go to church. We still be religious. We are very spiritual. And even we are able to quote the scripture verses on and on. And we can act and behave as if we are the true teachers of God's holy word. But internally, inside of us, we are corrupt. We are sinful. Well, the grace of God stirs our hearts up first, so that we may repent of our sins first. Before our external activities will be recognized, we must not be judged by our own conscience. That work must be done by God Himself, and that work is being called as grace, as I'm talking about. Grace is originated from God, and it touches our inner beings, which generates insincerity in our external works. Otherwise, we are just a bunch of hypocrites, religious hypocrites. The golden law does not have many words. It's just one verse. But it is applicable to anybody in any condition. And also, this law will reveal the sins of our hearts. So let me begin to talk about golden law. Here is the golden law according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. The first part of the verse says, "All things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them." Well, simply what it says is something like this: do to other people as you want them to do to you. So whatever you have, whatever expectations from you about these people, you have to do exactly the same things to other people. And there are a few lessons we should be able to learn from this golden law. First of all, it teaches us about the true devotion of God, or true devotion to God. The famous commentator Matthew Henley says this, in quote, "We cannot receive good things from God if we do not fear things and that which is lovely and of good report among men," end of quote. There are a few lessons we need to learn. First of all, the Golden Law teaches us that God wants us to be righteous in dealing with our fellow mankind. Our spiritual relationship is not to be limited only to the relationship with God, but God is concerned about our personal relationships with other people, fellow people, fellow mankind. It is a misunderstanding that God is going to show His favor and to answer to our requests, even if we are treacherous and unrighteous people in terms of our relations to other people. As long as we call upon the name of God and go to church and do religious things. So we may be professionally religious. However, those professionalism or professional religion may not give a pleasure to our Lord. Number two, more specifically, we need to see the connection between Matthew chapter 7 verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 and 12 say this: If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The word therefore in verse 12, the first word in verse 12, which has the golden rule, begins with the word, the first word of the verse is therefore. This particular word, therefore, connects those two verses. Verse 11 and 12 are connected by the word therefore. This connection shows that the golden rule does not teach us only about how to deal with other people or how we will be dealt by others, but also about how we will be dealt by God. If we read those two verses together, our spirituality must produce positive external influences. Thus, when church leaders are to be chosen, one of the qualifications the Lord has set before us is a good reputation of those individuals amongst the without the people. Of course, those church leaders must have sound doctrinal understanding and practices, but at the same time, one of the qualifications they should be able to present to the congregation is that those people are to be very well recognized by the people outside of the church as characters, as persons, as people. So some people may be extremely religious, and they may be very good Christians and very religious and spiritual people inside of Christian churches, but outside of Christian churches, their testimonies are not being maintained as good Christians. In such a case, God says those people are not supposed to become the leaders of Christian churches. So in other words, God cares about the way that we treat other people, not only inside of the church, but also outside of our churches. How we treat other people is important to our relationship to the Lord. Second, it teaches us that keeping this law requires our conscious efforts. It is because there is a recognition what we want others to do to us, and also willingness to do for others according to what we want them to do to us. Third, it teaches us about the high moral and ethical standards we must maintain as the believers of God. We cannot and should not dispense others for our selfish reasons. In other words, ends does not justify means for Christians. We must not use other people for our selfish gain, even though by using some people we may be able to get some profits, but such a practice is to be forbidden by this golden law. And also, we should not be affected by what others do to us. Instead, we ought to do to them as we want them to do to us. It requires our moral and ethical standards above all other teachings. This rule teaches us that our attitude toward other people must not depend on what others do to us, but on what we want them to do to us. Then we cannot excuse ourselves for not being kind to other people because of their wrong attitudes. So it is more than tooth for tooth and eye for eye. Our response to other people does not depend on what others are doing to us, but what we expect them to do to us. Fourth, it also teaches us that our prayer life needs some regulations and guidelines. If we are judged according to the judgment we make upon ourselves, upon other people, we must not easily judge other people according to our selfish reasons. We do to other people in the same way that we want them to do to us. Then we must know that our request to God cannot be sinful, selfish, or evil. Prayer cannot be a means to destroy our neighbors. Or prayer cannot be an expression of our lustful desires. Think about Stephen's prayer at the time of his own death in Acts chapter 7 verse 60. Even though he was an innocent person and he was stoned to death, his final prayer for those people who were stoning him was something like this: Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He was praying for their forgiveness. Fifth, it teaches us that we need to be more careful in our fellowship and relationship with the Lord if we truly believe in this golden law. If we have to consider others first, if we desire them to do the things we want them to do to us, then how much more we need to consider God before we ask Him to do things for us. It seems that we need to consider the heart of God in order to have an effective prayer before Him. If we want God to do things for us, then we must do to Him according to what He wants us to do. In other words, according to His will. Then the more we pray, the more we'll be able to find His will in our prayer or through prayer process. As a result, the more we'll be conformed to His character, conformed to His image. In fact, the Father in heaven gives us all good things. Thus, we ought to be willing to offer good things to our neighbors. Sixth, it teaches us that our behaviors must not be determined by what others or by how others treat us, but by what we want them to do to us, how we want them to treat us. We often react to the acts of other people. Thus, we love people who love us. We are kind to those people who are very kind to us. We are reactionaries. We are very mean to those people who are mean to us. However, the golden law teaches us that such reactionary attitude is not good enough for the children of God. This law simply teaches us that we should not treat other people according as they have dealt with us. That is very clearly shown in the Sermon on the Mount, in fact. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, "But I say unto you," this is what Jesus says, "but I say unto you, love your enemies." Isn't it interesting? If we apply eye for eye and tooth for tooth law, then obviously if someone hates us, we are supposed to hate that person. But that such a thing is not allowed for Christians. It says, Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 44, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Seventh, it teaches us about the best way to treat other people or our neighbors. It is a good observation that the Lord Jesus did not come just to teach what to believe. He also taught His disciples about what they must do to other people. Thus, Arthur Pink, who is a very famous commentator, Bible commentator, said, in quote, "It is utterly vain to speak like angels when on our knees before God if we act like devils in our transactions with men." End of quote. Eighth, it teaches us that we must have sound mind and sound theology in order to observe this law. It simply means that we must know what we want from other people in order to know what we should do to other people. It is an indication that we must have a right judgment concerning what we want from other people. For example, we may have evil and sinful desires in our hearts. We may have desire for lust and sinful pleasure. If they are what we want from other people, and based on those things, we are doing sinful and wicked things to other people, then it is neither good nor desirable. That is not the way that we keep the law. In order to know what we ought to desire and what we ought to do to other people and expect others to do to us, we must have sound mind and right judgments. Good and righteous discernment is a prerequisite for the good relationship between us and other people. Ninth, it teaches us that the unselfish intention is necessary in order to keep the golden rule. What we want from others and what we need to do to others must be based on unselfish and righteous motives. For example, we may have certain sinful and lustful expectations for other people to do to us. Based on these wrong expectations and reasons, we do certain things to others, and we expect them to do the same thing to us. What we desire from others must be reasonable and righteous. We must not apply the golden law to evil and sinful things. Tenth, it teaches us that all men are equal, and we must not discriminate from person to person. If we have wants and needs, we also need to know that others do have the same wants and needs. Our wants and needs should not be the reasons for other people's pain and suffering. We must use the same and equal measure to judge the needs of other people, and we must do to them as we want them to do to us. It will eliminate any sort of or any form of injustice and inequality from this world. 11th, it teaches us that all men are bound to treat one another kindly and equally. The reason that we need to know what we need and what we want is because we need to know how to treat other people in equal manners. We are entitled to receive proper treatments and respect from other people without any discrimination. Likewise, other people are also entitled to receive equal and fair treatments from us without any discrimination. Then we know that we are mutually bound to treat each other with fairness and respect and honor. 12th, it teaches us to put ourselves into the other party's shoes and to know its needs and wants. It encourages us to be considerate and kind toward other people. Paul taught us it more practically and realistically in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Would you like to turn your scriptures to Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Let's read it together. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, according to these verses, there are two reasons why we have failed to keep the golden law. Number one, we are too proud. Thus, we do things through strives and vain thoughts of glory. And so we are very arrogant. Number two, we look on our things only without considering others first. So we do not care about other people, but we are concentrated on our own needs and our own wants and so on. So there are problems of all those issues. In the meanwhile, these three verses are actually suggesting some of the remedies in order to resolve the problems. In fact, there are at least three remedies. The first remedy is this: esteem others better than ourselves in the lowliness of mind. In other words, other people are better than us. Number two, look on the things of others first and be considerate. So we are concerned about the needs that other people may have before we are concerned about our own needs. Number three, have the mind of Christ. The golden rule was practiced by the Lord Jesus himself. He was not just a talker, he was not just a teacher, he was not just a speaker, but he was the doer of what he was preaching. He was a great Savior. I think that the message of Jesus Christ is unique in many ways in this world. You cannot find such a message that you can hear from Jesus Christ from other people or other places. Basically, the concept, think about it, the concept of justice and concept of equity and justice requires fairness and equality. Thus, the sinners must be judged by the holiness of God. And God must deal with the sinners according to his justice. Otherwise, he's not holy. The holiness of God is in the center of God's own attribute and his own nature. We cannot think of God who is not holy. The reason that we do not have direct access to God is because there is a problem of sin within us. And there is a deep barrier and very thick barrier between God and man. And we are not supposed to have direct access to God because we are sinners. If we are to be found by the presence of God who is holy, then only consequence we can expect is divine justice and divine judgment. Even though God sees the sinners, God says, well, you know, I'm holy, however, you are sinners, but I'm not going to judge you. But then there is a problem of God's holiness. The holiness cannot tolerate injustice. And justice must follow after God's own holiness. And sinners must be all destroyed. Sinners must be judged. And there are consequences of sins. If that is the case, there is no human being who is able to survive before the presence of God. Some people may say, no, that is not the case. You know, there are certain ways that we can redeem ourselves. We are going to do good things to our neighbors. I'm going to help the person. He's very poor, therefore I'm going to give half of my old wealth to that person. And God is going to see it, thus he's going to forgive my sins. Well, there is a deep misunderstanding about the notion of sin, concept of sin, and the concept of God's divine justice. We may be righteous externally, outwardly. So by human eyes, we may be perfectly okay and perfectly righteous. But the problem is that sin does not come from outside without us. But sin comes from within us. When we are lonely, when we are alone, in dark moment, no one really sees us. We begin to wrestle with or struggle with sinful desires. Sinful imaginations. Even though we are mixed with other people, mess. We are listening to others, even messages, wonderful godly religious messages, but internally we can be still corrupt and sinful. How can we wash our inner beings? Maybe externally, some of our misbehaviors and wrong things can be redeemed by external generosity, kindness. But how about my internal sinfulness and depravity? How can we be found before God? That is a problem. However, the message of Christ says something like this. God so loved the world, so he sent his only begotten Son to this world. He was innocent and he was holy, but he offered himself to redeem the sinners if they believed in him. Jesus suffered on Calvary's cross, not because of his sins, but because of the sins of mankind. There is no other ethical or moral lesson or even religious education gives us this sort of message. The God or gods of all other lessons is or are fearful and terrifying ones. They are ready to strike. But the God of the Bible has provided a means for mankind to be delivered from their sins. The Bible declares that God is love, and in fact he is being defined by love in the Bible. While we were yet sinners, this is an incredible message, a biblical message. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for our sins. Jesus did not die while we were yet righteous or just, sincere, honest, clean, innocent.
But while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for our sins. It is an incredible message to many hearts. They consider that all sinners must be punished. That is true. However, before the eternal judgment comes, God has offered the mankind a means for salvation. And Jesus, the innocent being, gave his life for them. He has fulfilled the golden law. Jesus did not shout from the cross to heaven when he was crucified. In deep agonizing moment, Jesus did not say to the Heavenly Father, "Father, I am innocent, but I'm crucified, and this is a wrong treatment done by the sinner's hands. God, remember, eye for eye and tooth for tooth." That was not the prayer Jesus made on Calvary's cross. He prayed at the last moment, he said something like this, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." On the same day when Jesus was crucified on Calvary's cross, there was a thief hung on the cross right next to him. He didn't have any chance to rectify his problems or redeem his issues and so on. Only thing that he said to Jesus was, "Please remember me." And Jesus said, Jesus turned his head toward that person and he said to him, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Jesus was not just the teacher of the golden law, but he was the doer of the golden law. 13. It teaches us that we must have God's witnesses within us in order to be able to see our inner desires and hidden hearts and hidden thoughts. We need to be enlightened by the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. When He gives us His light, we shall be able to see who we are and what we are. We cannot be measured according to our own measurement. We should be measured according to the measurement by God, from God. Unless we see clearly who we are, we will not be able to see who others are and what we should do to them. By nature, man is selfish. By nature, man is corrupt. We do not sin because we are forced to sin. We are not corrupt because we are forced to be corrupt. But by nature, our hearts are corrupt and sinful. And we are selfish. No one has taught us to be selfish. I think no parents have taught their children to be selfish. Parents are trying to teach their little ones not to be selfish, unselfish. But by nature, they are selfish. And we do not teach our children to sin against God or sin against the parents or the society and so on. But our children do learn those sinful things. Sin comes from within us. By nature, man is sinful, selfish. If we treat other people by either, number one, how others treat us, number two, how we feel about ourselves, number three, by how we feel about other people, we cannot but act and react based on our sinful nature. However, as we have seen already, our conscious efforts to treat other people kindly are required to us. In order to treat other people fairly, we ought to be led by the inner witnesses of God in our souls. There has to be the work of God in our hearts, not by our sinful nature. We cannot live it with our sinful nature. 14th, the law of God teaches us that that this is an important law. The law of God teaches us the golden law or golden rule. If we look at the Ten Commandments, we can find a lot of interesting points. And in fact, we can have some interesting observations. For example, the first four commandments out of Ten Commandments are teaching us about how to build up a right relationship with our God, or what we are supposed to do to our God. The rest of the six commandments are, in fact, encouraging us how to build our right relationship with our neighbors and what we are supposed to do to other people. These commandments teach us lessons about what we should do to other people, not what others should to us. So the commandments are saying that we should not steal. It does not say others should not steal ours, But we should not steal others' possessions and others' belongings. We are not supposed to commit adultery. It does not say others should not commit adultery with our loved ones, but we are the ones who should not commit adultery. We should not take someone's life, or we are not supposed to be covetous. These commandments control and regulate our thoughts and behaviors toward our neighbors. However, if every one of us keeps them, we all shall be able to live without having any problems, but only in peace. The commandments of God encourage us to know what we should do. The work must begin with us. The main focus is on us, not other people. Let us not blame others for our miseries, but ourselves. 15th, it teaches us that we need to look into others' rights first before our rights. If all of us consider others' rights first, then our rights will also be honored and respected. That is the meaning of Matthew 7 verse 12. That's golden rule. When we honor others' rights, it reflects our wish that others will also honor our rights. And if every one of us does it, then there is no problem. If we can do it mutually, then everybody's rights will be respected. The reason that we are living in confusion and complicated society is because we are not doing our duties and responsibilities. 16th, it teaches us that our relationship with other people should not be dealt with by temporal gains or losses, or advantages or disadvantages. If we keep the golden rule, our relationship will be sincere and very honest, and our relationship will be based on very highly ethical and moral code. We can pursue the course of righteousness. When we make mistakes to others, we hope that they would forgive us with the spirit of charity. However, how often do we resent to those people who have made mistakes against us? We often expect others to be flawlessly perfect while we confess that no one of us is perfect. 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 8 and 9 says, "Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." So we are not supposed to be reactionaries. 17th, it teaches us that our lives must be ruled by the laws of God, including this golden rule. There are differences between what we want to do and what we must do. The golden rule discourages us from living by what we want to do, but encourages us to live a life that is led by what we must do. 18th, it teaches us that we are living as a community. The Lord simply reminds us that we are living in this world, not only as individuals, but also as a community. There are fellow men whose rights are equal to us. Consider all the activities we are involved in this world. For example, we go out to buy goods for our daily living, but somehow the merchant is very much interested only in his own profits, more than willing to cheat. He's more than willing to cheat his customers, including ourselves. His selfish act will not stop at the doorstep of his store. His customers, including ourselves, will do exactly the same thing in their own fields in order to make the loss. So somehow, some way, we need to make those losses up. His customers will do exactly the same thing. It will bring a vicious cycle that affects the whole human society, and the whole community is going to be ruined. We may apply it to the politics. If politicians use their delegated powers only for their gains, then the whole country and the whole community will suffer as a consequence. People in the ranks will do the same things. And again, we cannot expect to build a fair and honest society and honest community. by reminding us that we need to treat others as we want to be treated by them, we can attain to everybody's satisfaction. It must be applied to our church and church ministries. We do not exist just for ourselves selfishly. We are here for the Lord, and also we are here for one another. You are not here for yourselves alone, only. I'm not here for myself only. I'm here for you, and you're here for me too. That's the golden rule. If we apply to this rule very practically on our Sunday activities, let me think about Sunday lunch. You know, if we apply this rule to every Sunday lunch, I think all of us will rush to the kitchen to wash the dishes instead of looking around who is going to wash the dishes. It is because we want others to wash the dishes. And according to the golden law, exactly the same thing we must do. So we expect others to wash the dishes. So in order to practice that, you know, practice the golden law, we need to rush to the kitchen to wash the dishes. Then I think everybody will be willing and the burdens will be shared. I'm thinking about the missionaries in this matter too. While they are doing in the mission field for Lord's command, we must be willing to provide their needs as well. It is one of many applications we find from the golden law. 19th, it teaches us that we ought to recognize differences from person to person. We are all different people with different characters, different personalities, ways of thinking, manners, and many other things. However, the golden rule gives us opportunities to be mutually kind and gracious, though we may have differences. We are not supposed to have any sort of discrimination against other people based on race, nationality, or even religions. We may have to accept that there are some certain differences. We may disagree with other people, even religiously and spiritually and biblically speaking. However, that doesn't mean that we should discriminate them by disregarding their human rights and human dignity. Golden law actually refutes such a thing. If we expect others to honor us, then we are supposed to honor them regardless of our differences. And 20th, it teaches us that our conscience will not settle in peace until we fulfill this law. We may experience and face lots of challenging situations in our relationships with other people. Sometimes we feel that we have not done anything wrong, and all the faults are laid on others, and they are accountable for all those problems and so on. So we feel that, oh, it's okay, you know, because all the faults belong to them and they have done wrong things against me and so on. So whatever I'm doing to them, against them, must be justified. And we may say, you know, I'm not guilty on this matter and they are the guilty on this matter. Therefore, my misbehavior even may be justified and I do not have anything that to be, to be accused or blamed for. However, the golden rule teaches us that even though we are justifiable, even though faults are at others' hands, but still our conscience is not going to maintain peace in our hearts. Because golden law says, if we have anything, any expectation from other people, exactly the same thing we are supposed to do to those people. What we have done to others was not wrong. And those people may deserve such an ungracious and harsh treatment from us. However, our conscience will tell us that it cannot keep its peace until we practice the golden law. We may not be wrong and others started the problems. However, unless we have done things to others as the golden law teaches, our conscience will not have its peace. Then this rule is meant more than a duty, but a persuasion to us. It is a good thing for us to keep this rule. So we have been thinking about implications and applications of the golden law. Secondly, let me just briefly talk about the commendation for the golden law. Matthew chapter 7 verse 12 says, Therefore, all things whatsoever ye do, that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. The golden rule is not to be lightly dismissed. It is because, according to Jesus' own words, golden law is the law and the prophets. That is, this golden law is the epitome of the law and the prophets. Do you want to know about the laws of God? Do you want to know the teachings of the prophets? Well, Jesus said, this is it. This is the law and this is the prophets. Therefore, you may know the scriptures, you may know the Bible, you may know the doctrines, and theology-wise, you are all correct. However, if you do not practice the golden law, Jesus says, in fact, what you are doing, what you are knowing about, is not the law and the prophets. What is the law and the prophets? Jesus says, the golden law. This rule is not only explained in this verse, but also commanded in it. The virtue and significance of this golden rule is to be found in its sacred nature. The golden rule equals to the law and the prophets. Do you know the Bible? Then do you keep the golden law? That's what Jesus is challenging here. There are a few things we need to consider. First of all, the golden rule is not just a maxim or a suggestion, but the truth that must be honored and kept observed. It is the very definition of the law and the prophets. There is divine authority and authentication in and on it. This is the summary of all scriptural lessons. Even though we are able to memorize the whole Bible, if we do not practice the golden law, actually we do not know what we feel to know or consider to have known. Second, the golden law is the very word of God. It is interesting to see that the Lord mentioned both the law and the prophets. You have to remember that by the time of Jesus Christ, there was no New Testament yet, completed yet. And the only completed scripture was the Old Testament. And Jesus says the law and prophets in the Old Testament Bible, even in the New Testament, the laws and the prophets are the two components of the whole scriptures. So we are talking about the whole Bible. The golden law is the teaching of the whole Bible. The golden rule is the representative of the whole Old Testament and of the whole Bible. Third, the golden rule defines and refines all the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 22. Would you like to read this verse? Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 40. Let's read it together. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. It's very interesting. Here, again, all the law and the prophets are mentioned exactly the same way as we have seen from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So Matthew chapter 12, laws and prophets are referring to the golden law. And here, on these two commandments, and what are those two commandments? These two commandments must be related to the golden law as well, because golden law is the laws and prophets. And these two commandments are the law and the prophets. What is it? Well, the law and the prophets are hung on two commandments. And what are those two commandments? Number one, love your God. Number two, love your neighbors. It is a love passage. There are great commandments in the law. The golden rule is the very description and explanation of the greatest commandments in the law. And it can be practiced by doing to others as we want them to do to us. That is the very way to love other people. Then we know that keeping the golden law cannot be achieved by superficial or hypocritical attitude. When we do to others as we want them to do to us, there must be sincerity and honesty. Then the golden rule is spiritual, which can be attained to by our inner and spiritual maturity. And the law and prophets point at the law of Christ. In other words, if we have righteousness through Christ Jesus, then there has to be a demonstration of the righteousness in our lives. If we say, well, you know, I love the Lord and I'm saved, my sins are forgiven, and God declared me to be righteous before His eyes, therefore I'm clean and innocent people. However, that righteousness must have some opportunities to be demonstrated in our living, in our activities, in our deeds. Not only just through our lip confessions or professions. And how can we say that there is a genuine demonstration of the righteousness of God that is being taught in the laws and prophets? Well, keep the golden law, golden rule. Lastly, the golden law must be upheld and honored because it is the law and the prophets. When it is not kept and observed, we cannot please the Lord. The primary reason that the Lord was displeased with His own people was because they did not honor God's law and the prophets. And the law and prophets is mentioned here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. By keeping the golden law, actually, we are able to keep the law and the prophets. We should not consider only what is our own. We cannot and should not refuse others for what is their due. When we put ourselves in their places and know what we ought to do to them, it is not good enough to raise our voices in good and sound doctrines or theologies or spiritual matters and biblical concepts and references if we do not pay attention to the precepts of the Lord. We must know that the law and the prophets, the truth of God, teach us about the way to live, which is the golden law. Maybe it is a good time for us to be able to review whether we have this good balance with correct doctrine and the golden law. The cross of Jesus is the climax of this golden law. Jesus gave Himself as a result. All the benefits are given to us. And golden law is the foundation or foundational principle for our relationship with the Lord and a relationship with other people. I hope that even though this is a very simple principle and a very short verse, and I have listed a lot of things in order to explain the verse, but having heard all these things, if we do not practice, then all these teachings are becoming very useless teaching. And I hope that you will consider what others expect you to do to them. As a result, you will be able to do what they expect you to do to them. Then if everybody will do it, then I think we'll be a better church and we'll be able to build a better society and we'll be able to be better people in our community. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the teaching we have just studied from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Father, oftentimes we are very selfish and we act and react based on our selfish reasons. But the scripture says that we are supposed to do to other people as we want others to do to us. Dear gracious Lord, help us to practice it, not just to know about it, but help us to practice it. We do thank you for Jesus who practiced it. Dear Father, we hear about Stephen's prayer, we hear about Jesus' prayer, and help us to learn from those prayers. Help us to honor others before we claim for our own rights. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.